According to a medieval legend, French shepherds had a Christmas Eve tradition where they sang and communicated with each other across the hillsides. They would sing the Latin phrase, Gloria in excelsis Deo, translating to Glory to God in the highest. This was their way of spreading holiday messages and cheer across long distances, creating an atmosphere that resembled angels celebrating the birth of Christ for nearby Christians. The song also conveyed the shepherds' joy about the arrival of the holiday season once again, resonating from hillside to valley. Hundreds of years later, this song would become the basis of a beloved Christmas carol we know today. Join us as we break down the history of Angels We Have Heard on High.
Let's get this party started.
Welcome to Tinseltunes. I'm your host, Scott.
And I'm your other host, Dwayne. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great, Dwayne. Happy 2024. It's our first episode of the new year.
And didn't that come around fast? It's hard to believe it's mid-February already.
It really did. We're pushing March already, and that seems bizarre to me. It's great to see you.
It's great to be seen.
How was your light display? How did that work out?
Oh, look, that was amazing. The first year ever that I got bored with it. So every night I'd go out and check it, make sure it came on when it should have, and it did. Every day except Boxing Day, so it didn't really matter, it went without a hitch. And I think on Christmas night, somebody must have touched the mega tree, because from that point onwards, it started playing up, which is the big tree shaped lights on the fence. Mm-hmm. But other than that, yeah, it went absolutely perfect to the point where I'm like, I just want to take it down now just for something to do.
Yeah.
We had a lot of people around, a lot of comments, but I'm not focusing on the lights this year like I did last year. I might not even do a display this year.
Oh, wow. Okay, so take a year off and build up some excitement internally about it.
Yeah. Well, I want to focus more on the podcast this year. I want to focus more on my drumming this year.
Oh, yeah.
And with the Christmas lights taking up so much time last year, the drums, at least, they suffered as far as doing, streaming and YouTube videos. But we'll see what happens. Come midwinter, I'll get the itch to start doing Christmas light stuff, no doubt. So I may even change my mind. We'll see how that goes.
Have you gotten the itch to listen to any Christmas music yet, or is this like a fallow period for you?
Yeah, I haven't actually listened to much except what comes through social media still, especially through TikTok. Yep. I'm still getting Christmas stuff delivered. It's not stuff that people have recorded recently. It's what TikTok has delivered from the season. I'm still getting some of that come through. I'm getting nothing through Facebook because my Facebook account does not exist anymore.
Oh.
It got hacked last year through an Instagram account that had linked itself to it.
Oh.
Yeah, and so they were doing something to break Instagram's rules, which shut down the Instagram account, and it shut down my Facebook account. So
womp womp.
Luckily, I had made you an admin on the Tinseltunes page, because I've lost admin to all my pages.
Oh boy.
And you were able to get me back in, and we can keep the page going.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So yesterday afternoon, I had to take my daughter to a doctor's appointment, and as many doctor's appointments go, it just dragged and dragged and dragged. And by the time we left, it was snowing, and it was also very slick, very icy, and I wanted something to just kind of take my mind off of worrying about, driving my family home safely. So I put on the album Noel by the Canadian Brass, and that's a Christmas album that I really love, but it's not your typical Rudolph, Frosty the Snowman. It's brass, it's instrumental, and I love it. I've loved it since my mom bought me the record album when I was in fifth grade, so you can imagine how long ago that was. And it was just a nice thing to listen to. Not every song is a well-known traditional Christmas song. And even my wife said, oh, this is really nice. And, because I think she was kind of rolling her eyes at me thinking like, oh boy, here we go. He's already back into the Christmas music. But that's where I've ended up. And it's fun to be back here, you and me, talking about a carol. I was really excited to do this one. But before we get into that, do you have some housekeeping for us?
I do. So I've got sort of three or four little things to touch on. First one is I put out a couple of posts, you know, on the Tinsel Tunes Facebook page to get some feedback from you guys, our listeners. The first one was about some ideas for the episodes for this year, because sometimes it's hard to come up with things that you guys want to listen to that might be of interest to us, or we might be missing out on things that we've never thought about.
Yeah.
So I've got quite a few already. I won't go into them here, but hop onto the Facebook page. It's a fairly recent post. Have a read through that and add your comments to what you guys think that we should cover this year. There's some great ideas there already.
I saw there were a lot of replies to it. I didn't read through it because I figured you would give me the high level of it.
Yeah, there's a couple there. One that we had spoke about previously about the humor, you know, funny episodes and things like that. So yeah, we're definitely going to do that.
That's great.
And there was some in there that I'd never thought of. So I'll share a list with you, Scott, later on as we build our episodes for the year. And then I also put a post out about the episode length and the structure of the podcast and whether it needs to be changed or if you guys like what we do. I only had three responses, but they were great responses. So the first one was from Lenoya Gilbert, and she just says, the longer the better, because we like to have a shorter episode, really, you know, sort of 20 minutes, half an hour.
Yep.
But she says the longer the better.
Oh, that's very nice. Well, Lenora's wonderful.
Yeah, well, some will be longer. Dorna Gerst goes, do what makes you happy. I love you both. I love that.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
And then Mary Britsmith, which is another awesome podcast to go listen to. He goes, I think sometime between 45 minutes and an hour and a half is my ideal podcast length, but I've enjoyed podcasts of shorter and longer if it's interesting and engaging.
Well, it won't be longer, but I can guarantee you that. Thank you, Adam. I appreciate that.
And then the last thing was basically, I'm going to start a Spotify playlist for 2024 of all the songs that we cover through the podcast this year.
Oh, cool.
We'll put as many on as we can because some of them aren't on Spotify and some of the songs we get aren't through YouTube. You know, like they might be from Bandcamp and they might not be on Spotify.
Right.
So I'll put as many songs as they can. So at the end of the year, it's a one-stop place that people can listen to some of the songs that we've covered.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, we always put the links in the show notes to where you can listen to the song. So you can do that too if it's not on Spotify. That's when it gets a little tricky, but hopefully most of them are there.
Yes. I did think about making a YouTube playlist as well, but I'm not sure how many people would actually go to YouTube and actively watch the videos, whereas Spotify, it's in your ears when you're doing stuff.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
And that's all I've got.
Well, that's fantastic. Do you want to get into the history of Angels We Have Heard on High?
I think we should. There's some French words in here, which, as we all know, I am useless at if it's not English and basic English at that. Yeah, so Scott's going to help me with some all of right. those words.
Well, why don't I take it away then and start by saying this was actually a difficult carol to research because, as we're going to find, there are a few songs that are not the same songs, but they all use the same tune. And that is a little weird. I don't know of many other carols that do that. We've had some carols that we've gone over where there are two distinct melodies. This is the opposite of that, where there are distinct songs with the same melody. But to understand the history of Angels We Have Heard on High, we have to start with a traditional French carol. And it's called Les Anges dans nos campagnes, which translates to The Angels in Our Countryside. And the author of the original carol is unknown. We know it was popular in the early 1800s, but that's all we know. And traditional folk songs, especially in rural areas, can be like that. We just don't know. I did bring a version of Les Anges dans nos campagnes. Would you like to hear a little clip of it?
That would be great. Thank you.
So that was Les Anges dans nos campagnes. I will put the link to the YouTube video in there. It doesn't say who that was performing it, unfortunately, but I thought it was very nice. Do you mind reading the next part, Dwayne?
Sure. So in 1816, a man named James Montgomery wrote a carol called Angels from the Realms of Glory, which was also based off the song that we just heard.
On Les Anges.
Yeah, I'm not going to pronounce it.
no problem.
So we've got two versions here of Angels from the Realms of Glory. Now, the reason I've included one of them is there's an artist called Matthew Green's Orchestral Rainbow, which I've spoken about in the past.
Orchestral Rainbow sounds very familiar to me.
Yeah, it's the album was produced back in 1974, and I was introduced to it in the 80s through my father and a friend of his. And because I was so young when I heard it, it's one of those albums that I've listened to every year. It's mine, if that makes any sense, because mm-hmm. I know that it's not that popular, and I doubt anyone else has actually even heard of it, or if they have, it's just a handful of us. So they do Angels from the Realms of Glory, and then they use the familiar Gloria
right.
part to the music, and then after that we'll listen to David Archuleta and the Tabernacle Choir do theirs as well.
All right, so let's listen to Matthew Green's Orchestral Rainbow first.
Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with man is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
So that was Matthew Green's Orchestral Rainbow. As you mentioned, the tune is Gloria. That you're going to hear that in all these different versions that we're playing today. That's the through line between these. Let's listen to David Archuleta and the Tabernacle Choir, and then we'll talk about these.
Sages, leave your contemplations. Brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations. He has seen his natal star.
Both of them, Duane, very pretty versions. I almost like the Matthew Green one a little better because it has this kind of Jesus Christ Superstar kind of Broadway thing to it that I just thought was interesting.
Yeah, and I think that's why I really like, because that is just the vocals. There is instrumental mm-hmm. part to the song and also the rest of the album, which I've showed in the past, and that's just what stuck with me, you know, from a kid. But David Archuleta, I don't normally listen to, but that is a beautiful version. The Tabernacle Choir.
Yeah, anything with the beautiful. Tabernacle Choir, I feel yeah. like they do a great job. And unlike some of the videos that we link to, they don't all have great production value, but these always do.
Yes.
Quite the team that takes care of the audiovisual for that. And they're always very pretty. And they're clear. That's another thing I like about it. Sometimes, you know, if it's somebody making a bootleg copy from under their jacket in the crowd, it doesn't quite work. But those
were both nice.
Well, the
Matthew Green's one, interestingly, the YouTube videos, because somebody has put this music up on YouTube. So there's two of us that listen to it, at least.
Okay.
yeah. They've taken a record and ripped the audio off it and then put it up onto YouTube, and it is quite clear. It's clearer than the version that I have, which was record cut to tape and then cut back to CD and then to digital eventually. So the version I have is not as clear. I've now since got the audio off the YouTube versions because it's clearer.
Are you able to get the original vinyl album?
I know the chap who has the album. Unfortunately, I won't be able to get it until he passes away.
Okay.
Because it's his favorite album as well. So he has actually said to me that eventually when he passes away, I'll get that album.
Well, that's nice. So Angels from the Realms of Glory. I wasn't familiar with this song. I'm obviously familiar with the tune Gloria, and I'm sure you are as well. But the song takes a strange turn at this point because Angels from the Realms of Glory was sung to the French tune Gloria, which itself was the melody of Les Anges dans nos compagnies. And then a man named Henry Thomas Smart wrote a new tune for Angels from the Realms of Glory in 1967. I guess he felt like it needed a rebranding because Angels We Haven't Heard on High got more popular. So I just want to play a quick clip of that one for completeness.
Yep.
Angels from above, above glory, in your sight for all the earth. He who sang creation's story, now proclaim as by us birth.
I don't mean to throw shade on Henry Thomas Smart, but I'm not sure the song was improved by that. It was fine. It just sounds kind of like church music to me. It doesn't sound like any kind of carol, and it has no similarity to any of the other stuff we've heard.
I would say it might have been written for that situation.
Yeah.
But could you imagine if you're not a regular churchgoer, but you go along one Christmas and they go, right, we're going to sing Realms of Glory, and you're getting ready to sing the popular version.
That's right.
And then they start singing that, you'd be looking around going, is this the right song?
You'd be belting out angels from the... Uh-oh.
Yeah, so it's funny that we started off with Angels of the Realms of Glory, because now we'll go into Angels We Have Heard on High.
Okay, so we're finally getting to our carol today.
Yeah. So it was first published in France in either 1842 or 1855, depending on the source, because as with most of these old songs, it's not always clear.
Yeah.
The English translation was written in 1862 by James Chadwick, an Anglo-Irish Roman Catholic bishop in northeast England.
That's a mouthful, an Anglo-Irish Roman Catholic bishop.
Yeah. Things don't always come out as you read them in your head as they come out.
Yeah, it's tough.
James Chadwick's original lyrics retell the story of the Gospel of Luke, in particular the moment where the shepherds outside Bethlehem are visited by angels singing praises of baby Jesus. Angels We Have Heard on High, Angels from the Realms of Glory, the original version, and
Les Anges dans nos Compagnies.
Yep. Are sung to the melody known as Gloria, which was arranged by Edward Shippen Barnes.
Okay, I thought I'd bring a real simplified version of this one, just so everybody's on the same page. The history of this, Duane, is very murky and muddy to me, but it's my understanding from everything we just went over that tune, Gloria, originated as the melody of Les Anges dans nos Compagnies, at least in some form. It may not have been exactly like that, and maybe the others were based on that. Maybe we should have started with that very simplified piano version, but that's what we've got. Gloria in Excelsis Deo. I don't know about you, but I can't separate that from the tune Angels We Have Heard on High. It's all one and the same to me. All these other versions that we've covered today, the Angels from the Realms of Glory and everything, I think of Angels We Have Heard on High, even when I'm hearing them being sung.
Well, funny, because I'm the opposite. I hear Angels from the Realms of Glory because of the song, you know, Matthew Green.
Oh.
Because Angels That We've Heard on High is not really part of my Christmas, but Angels from the Realms of Glory is.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's interesting.
Well, that's really neat. Now, there's one more interesting thing about Gloria and how it's sung.
So the word Gloria is sung in Angels As We've Heard on High is a melismatic. Yeah, melismatic. Yeah. A word for holding one syllable and hitting several notes. So you've got, we'll listen to samples. I won't sing it.
So when they go Gloria, it's the same syllable and the voice is changing notes. That's called melismatic. That was new to me. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, and in this case, it covers 16 notes.
Wow.
So that's 4 bars of 4, essentially. So.
Rising and falling. Yeah. Not the easiest thing to sing.
No, especially when you can't sing.
It takes some skill, at least to pull it off well. It's a song that I don't have a lot of experience in my adult life going to church, but I did when I was younger. And this was always a song that was sung, maybe not by the congregation, maybe by the choir, but I always enjoyed it.
Yeah. And as I mentioned before, I'm sort of the opposite. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that at all growing up. I think I might have heard it once or twice in recent years at the Carols by Candlelight type singing that we go to. But instantly, when I hear the Gloria part, my mind always goes back to Angels from Realms of Glory.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is no definitive version of Angels We Have Heard on High. I'm sure you can find it with many of the very popular Christmas artists. Off the top of my head, there are probably versions by your Bing Crosby or Frank Sinatra or Ella Fitzgerald, something like that. I'm sure you can go look it up. But I thought we could bring some different versions, you know, the ones that would not be the average ones that you've heard. And I think we have a pretty good crop today from songs both you and I brought.
We do. And even though there's no default version, I think when you hear a song like this, what pops into your head is a choir. that sings it. You know, there's that bunch of songs that the default version is what you would hear from a choir, regardless of what choir it is.
I totally agree with you. I think that's the way, if you had to pick one version, one way that it's performed, it would be by a choir. I agree with that. We didn't bring choir versions today because you can find plenty of those. In fact, the first version is a kind of a pop punk version by Reliant K, which is one of this is an album I absolutely love. So the complete opposite of a choir. Dwayne, I don't think I've ever listened to the song on headphones. And the reason I say that is because I never noticed the balance in the mixing until now when I'm standing here and I distinctly heard the lead guitar in my right ear. So that was interesting. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the album with headphones on.
I keep meaning to go and listen to these guys at all because they've popped up a few times on these episodes. And I keep thinking, I must remember just to go and hunt these guys out and have a decent listen to all their songs. And I never do. So this year I definitely will because every time I hear them, it's great because I like a bit of pop punk.
It's a great album. They're very tight. It's not sloppy at all. You'd have to go way back in history now, like more than 4 years. But the original theme to my buddy Brand's Deck the Hallmark show was Deck the Halls by Reliant K. And they gave him permission to use that as their song. The problem was when he started putting up YouTube videos, everyone he put up would get flagged and then he had to fight it. And finally, they just wrote their own theme song that wouldn't have copyright problems. But yeah, totally would recommend checking out the Reliant K album if you get a chance.
Yeah, I really will make an effort to.
We have an a cappella version by Home Free, an artist that is no stranger to this show.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in gloria.
Oh, I like that, Dwayne. And again, listening on headphones, the bass voice was really prominent, and I love that. I think it's my favorite vocal to hear. Of all the vocal performers, the person who does the bass is my favorite.
Yes. So I've followed Home Free for a while now, and Tim Faust was the bassist, so to speak, in the song. Yeah.
Okay.
And even on crappy headphones. Now, the headphones I'm listening to are ones that I use when I'm streaming. Not to listen to music, and you guys can't see them, but like these are just cheap $20 headphones, and that sounds amazing through these headphones, so I can imagine what they sound like through decent ones.
Yeah, and you're hearing it compressed and squished into mono over the delayed feed that you and I are working on. So yeah, like you just said with Reliant K, I don't know why I haven't gone and listened to more Home Free, because every time I hear them, I say, these guys are fantastic.
And I just like the overall mellowness because all their voices are very similar.
Yep.
And I like that in this case. Yeah.
Nobody's trying to be over the top with it and showy, and I just really enjoy it. The next version, I brought a metal version, especially for you, but I liked it as well. And when I was putting together the clips, I was listening to it and said, this one's in German. Maybe we shouldn't use it. But it's the only one I really found that was decent. And then I started seeing these other videos on YouTube, and it was things like Vocal Teachers React to This Metal Version by Dan, I think it's Vask, V-A-S-C. I don't think it's Vasic. I think it's Vask, but I'm not sure. So pay attention to this artist Dan Vask's vocal performance here. a very powerful performance. Dwayne, there is a wonderful version of Angels We Have Heard on High by Andrea Bocelli, but obviously we can't play that for copyright reasons. This one was a very similar, extremely powerful performance, even if I don't understand it in German.
Yeah, it's sort of bringing that opera
metal
together. Interestingly, too, is it has a standard, you know, tempo, but then when it gets to the Gloria part, it jumps to a halftime, which we've discussed before,
mm-hmm.
where instead of being 1, 2, 3, 4, it's still 1, 2, 3, 4, but the snare is essentially half the speed of what it would have been normally, and I think that adds quite an impact to it.
I really noticed the drumming in this one. I don't have words for what I heard, but it had this kind of military marching cadence to it that I really enjoyed, and it's rare for me, compared to you, to notice the drums in those kind of things.
Oh, exactly. And it really brings that song home. It really just drives it.
I've got a ska version by an artist called On the Upbeat. The artist did something with the vocals that I don't hear often there, but what really stood out to me were the horns during the Gloria refrain. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I was quite let down by it, to be honest. What I mean by that is it was more pop punk than ska to me.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, because I mean, some of the ska stuff we've brought is real ska, if that makes any sense. It's obvious what it is.
Yep.
Whereas this one, if it wasn't for the stabs of those, it could have been pop punk or very, very close to it.
It definitely towed the line, and the horns are kind of what just nudges it over to the ska side. There aren't a lot of other versions of this, or I would have brought it, but very fun either way. I have a rock version, or kind of a more of a rock version, mm-hmm. by a group called Bayside. That line between rock and pop punk and some of those other styles is a very gray one to me, Dwayne, but the instrumentation on that was great, regardless of whatever you want to call the genre.
Oh, exactly. And it is definitely one. In fact, it was this one and the Reliant K one that gave me the idea, the last minute idea, to do the Spotify playlist for this year. Because I thought, wouldn't that, even multiple lists, because I thought, wouldn't it be great to have an upbeat playlist? And it had songs like this that you could put on at a party and not fear that you're going to get a slower, say Mariah Carey, slower song on it. But
totally. Sometimes you put the carols on and they're a little bit of snoozers and it kind of brings the mood down. That would not.
Yeah, that was a good one to add to the list.
I have a country version by an artist named Josh Turner. Country music is not always my jam, but that artist had a very traditional country-sounding voice, and there was something about the way all of the performers were in just lockstep with each other that it had this feeling of forward motion to me, and I enjoyed it in a way that I didn't think I was going to.
So I've got a little confession to make. I'm actually getting really big into country music now. So I have started building a country music playlist for regular music, and I've been playing it on my streams, which have been quite popular. So I actually really quite like this one. I don't know who Josh Turner is just yet. He hasn't popped up in the regular country music, but I like the tempo, and I really like the fact there's some stabs of double time in there, which, as you said, I think that's what drives the song forward.
Maybe that's what I was hearing and not knowing how to verbalize it.
Could be. Yeah, and one thing I've recently found out about country music of this style, this sort of rock country rock style, is that they are very tight as musicians, and they're great storytellers as well now. And I think that's what I liked about this, as you mentioned, how tight it was.
I'm sure some of our listeners must know who Josh Turner is, and I get the impression from the view count on the video that it's somebody who is at least notable. It's not 10 million views, but it's also not 153.
Yeah.
So it looked like there's some popularity to Josh Turner.
Exactly. I'm going to be hunting out some of his non-Christmas stuff to go with my other country stuff.
Cool.
I'll quickly find out how popular he is.
Well, I brought a chiptune version because we always have a chiptune version, and I've got really good news for you, Dwayne.
Yep.
This one is quite good. It is not a strict 8-bit version. I think there might even be sampled drums in this one, but it's also not harsh or shrill. So here's a chiptune version by Peter Hunter. As I said, I don't think that was a purist version of a chiptune. It was more chiptune style, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was really fun.
Yeah, when on the full song, when it starts playing out, it is 8-bit, and I thought, oh, here we go again.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, yeah, the sampled drums, as you say, they're probably not a real drum. It'll be sampled drums comes in, and I really liked it. But I also liked how they played with the tempos. There's some a half time, and there's some double, and sometimes the drops right out completely, as you probably heard just as it was fading off. And it's a really good version of a chiptune song. I'm glad you brought that one.
It had some of the delay or reverb style effects in there as well, and I thought they were tastefully done. So it was fun. And you know, for me, it doesn't have to be pure 8-bit to be chiptune. It just has to remind me of those happy memories of, you know, old Nintendos and Commodore 64s, and it certainly did.
Well, as you know, we don't play within the fences completely, because the next one, I thought I'd jump in and do the next one because it leads on.
So
the next one is a instrumental, but there is some singing towards the end. So that's why I thought, you know, we don't play within the fences. So sometimes we'll open the gate and, you know, and say, hey, this is instrumental, or this is 8-bit. But it's sort of something else coming in as well. So,
well, now you got my interest piqued here. This is an instrumental version by the Piano Guys. When you brought that version for me, and I wasn't familiar with it, and I am so intrigued. I do know of the Piano Guys, and they are very popular on YouTube, and that version did not disappoint me.
Yeah, so this is a must-watch video. So it's a very Christmassy video. That it starts off, they're setting the scene up, and all it is the four band members with one piano. So one's playing the piano, one is plucking the strings inside. Two of them have violin bows, and one of them looks like they've taken the hair off the bow, and they've threaded it through the strings. I mean, the people can't see what I'm doing, but they're sort of like milking, if that makes any sense. The string
back and forth.
Yeah, right. That's why it sounds like a violin. And then one of them starts using the body of the piano as the drums.
So the whole thing there was piano, is what you're saying?
All piano. So there's no other.
I'm blown away. I had no idea. I will definitely go check that video.
When I say that, that's what the video shows. Hopefully in the background they haven't done a violin and they haven't added drums separately, because the video shows that they've done it all on the piano itself.
Well, it was really, really cool. Thank you for bringing that. And I brought one more for you. You know, just like I want to hear the chiptune,
yep,
you always want to hear the Brian Setzer.
That's
so
right.
I have a bit, and I don't know how to classify this. Do I call it somewhat big band? Do I call it rockabilly? Do I just call it Brian Setzer? I don't know.
I think call it Brian Setzer.
Yeah, here we go. What a group of phenomenal musicians.
Well, there's about 20 of them, so.
No shortage of talent there.
Yeah, definitely no shortage. A couple of notes that I made. Now, this is not one of Brian's better songs in his list of Christmas music. It's not in my top 10 personally.
Okay.
However, there is vocals in this, and they come in just after the 2 minute mark. There's a couple of backup singers, and then Brian is also singing as a backup singer. He's not up front. It's just the three of them. Yeah. But really, it's just 4 minutes of Brian and the band doing what they do with a stab of vocals in the middle. But I really liked the stabs of the horns and as the song goes through. That's what stands out to me. Brian's playing is always on par, but it's the horns that really I really quite like, as well as the drums, obviously, because I think it's the drummer that's in, because he keeps changing his drummers, but there's about three that he uses.
One's like Spinal
from Stray
Tap.
Cats. One's from Stray Cats, and then there's one that plays with him in the big band, and a third who I can't remember, but the drums are always up front as well.
That was a song that I had a hard time trying to find a good 30-second clip of that's representative of the song, because it keeps changing. The beginning is very different than this, what I would say is like in the first third of the song. And then, as you mentioned, then it gets into vocals. But I wanted to really capture that rockabilly feel, and I thought the guitar in the clip that I brought there did that very well. He's such a great guitarist.
Oh, definitely.
And it's part of what makes it so unique. So that was why I picked that 30-second clip, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Dwayne, that's our playlist today. Did any of the songs really stand out to you as noteworthy or surprising?
Noteworthy is definitely the Reliant K and the Home Free versions.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Those two are definitely the ones that I'll take away from this. Especially since I keep saying I'll listen to Reliant K more, I'm going to go and do that now.
Yeah, I'm going to follow up with you next week and make sure that you've given, you can find it almost anywhere too. It's not like it's a hard find.
Well, we've come across them before on YouTube. So I'll just hit YouTube one evening. And
I loved the punk version. I really liked the a cappella version. But for me, the one that stood out because of how you described it to me was that piano guy's version. I didn't realize they were doing interesting and unique things with a piano, almost the way that a cappella artists can make percussion using their voice. These guys were doing these crazy things with a piano to sound like other instruments, and I want to check out more of this. I really just kind of had them pegged as here's some guys that play piano and they got popular on YouTube. So this is something I want to go follow up on myself.
Yeah, I'd be very disappointed if once I dive into it a bit more, I find out that was just for show, because it looked really good the way
okay.
they did it. Yeah.
Well, if listeners know, let us know. But boy, do I hope you're right, because that sounds so unique and interesting.
Well, that's,
So that was Angels We Have Heard on High. It's nice to start off the year with a traditional carol, kind of the bread and butter of this show. And we'll do some other songs this year, or maybe even just styles, but I thought starting off with a traditional carol was the way to go. Do you think we hit the mark, Dwayne?
I think so. This is one of those songs that when I was solo and I did some of the older songs, this was one that I'd forgotten about.
Okay.
So I'm glad that you brought it up, and I'm really glad that we looked into it. So, yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Listeners, please go to the Facebook group if you're able and, provide your two cents. We really want to get feedback from listeners on what they want to hear versus us just deciding what you should hear. So I would say, please take up that opportunity that Dwayne has put out there to help guide the show. And we definitely want to hear your voice, and we want it to be, present in what we make this year. This is going to be a very fun year, Dwayne.
Exactly. I mean, the feedback that we get is absolutely heartwarming, and especially, like I say, I'm not focusing on the lights this year. I only have two things to focus on this year besides my personal life, and that is my drums and the podcast. So, as much feedback as we can get. We absolutely love it.
Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can go to that Facebook group that we mentioned. It's free to join. And you could also just email us, tinseltunespodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. I think that does it for this month, Dwayne. What a great start to 2024.
It is, and I hope it carries on and the world becomes a better place.
Yeah, we can certainly hope that.
Yep.
But until next month, Dwayne, Merry Christmas.
Until next month, and listeners, Merry Christmas.